Stormy Daniels needs very little introduction. Her real name is Stephanie Clifford. She's a porn star who claims to have had an affair with President Trump more than 10 years ago. Trump denies that, but did authorize a payment of $130,000 to her to stay quiet about it just a month before the election in 2016. Trump's former fixer, Michael Cohen, pleaded guilty to violating campaign finance law by making that payment. Well, Stormy Daniels has a book out this week called Full Disclosure. She joined me from Beverly Hills to talk about it. It is a memoir about more than the night she says she slept with Trump.
Everybody wanted me to write a tell-all. And I was like, I really don't want to do that because, you know, that doesn't define me. Of course, everybody knows that, you know, about that epic, you know, 90 seconds and back in 2006 right. with Trump. And I was like, I just don't want to write a tell-all because it would be a very, very short book. But then, you know, I really didn't have an outlet to tell my side of the story. Obviously, I went on 60 Minutes and hoped to do that. And the interview was over 3 hours, but once it was edited down, it was only 14 minutes. And some of the really key things that I wanted to express got cut out. Everybody knows what happened, but nobody really knew how or why. So
you feel like people haven't gotten the full picture of who you are.
Correct. And like I said, how things transpired and why they happened the way they did and the way things unfolded. So I just rushed the book, and it was just my way of having complete control. Although, you know, I'm still sure that people are just going to jump straight to chapter 3 and not read the rest of it anyway.
Well, and you make a joke about that in the book. But let's start with what you talk about at the beginning. You grew up in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. You describe a rough childhood. Your mother would leave you alone for days without food. You say you were repeatedly raped at the age of 9, and you were called a liar when you tried to report that sexual abuse to a guidance counselor. What do you want people to know about you and your life that you don't think that they do already know?
Basically what I just said, that I don't want to be defined by one single evening with someone that I met and just thought it was going to be a crazy night with a goofy TV star. Obviously, I had no inclination, as did anyone else, that he was going to be a politician. You know, I just started the book with the background because I kind of wanted everyone to get a feeling for where I came from. But I think that, like, the most important thing that I wanted to get across is that I was established in my industry as a writer and director and a feature dancer. I had this completely different life, although in its own right, very extraordinary. And so I just wanted people to know that there was a lot more to me than just that night.
What made you decide to finally come out and say, this is what happened?
I was fine with saying nothing at all. If I wasn't, I would have never signed a non-disclosure. I'm not stupid. And if I was going to do that, I would have asked for a lot more than $130,000. Once again, I'm not stupid. I just wanted it to go away. I didn't want it to affect my family or my young child. And I had a pretty successful career. I'd moved behind the camera and was starting to be really known and respected as a director. I directed some mainstream things, some music videos, lived in a small town in Texas, was very happy with, you know, I'm doing air quotes, normal friends. So this was the last thing that I wanted to come out. But then somehow it got leaked and Michael Cohen started running his mouth. And then they wanted me to sign additional statements that were completely false. I was fine with saying nothing, but I didn't want to lie. In the meantime, the story was exploding everywhere and people were attacking me left and right and calling me names. And I just wanted to set the record straight. And I just wanted to be able to tell my side of the story so people would understand where I was coming from. And at the same time, all these other women were coming forward. And I just felt one day that it was the right thing to do. So I did it.
What do you want to happen to Michael Cohen?
I think we're all about to find out on, what is it, December 12th? He was the kind of the orchestrator of this and the one who, most importantly, and if you read the book, you'll understand what I'm saying, he's the one that blew it. You know, I was totally fine with saying nothing at all. I was actually thrilled. And then he's the one that started yapping. He broke the non-disclosure way before I did. And then when he realized he'd messed up, he just continued to do so. I think he's going to get what he deserves. But on the other side of that, I also am starting to have a little bit of admiration and respect that he did finally come clean and admit. The moment that I got the call, I was actually overseas in Europe, when I got the call that he admitted that I was telling the truth, was a huge moment for me because I'm used to being called all kinds of names. I have a pretty thick skin being in the adult entertainment business, you know. Mm-hmm. But being called a liar was really hard because I knew I was telling the truth.
Well, and you make clear in this book that you were worried for your safety all along, still are.
Right. That was my other reason for signing the nondisclosure, which we all know was kind of a crappy deal, was because there would be a record. And so I figured nothing could really happen to me because there were people who knew about this nondisclosure. Now, my fear lies mostly with just sort of crazy fans, not, you know, directly related to the government or anything like that.
Mm. But you've got bodyguards now.
I do. I have two. They're awesome.
But what is that like? I mean, to now be in a situation where you've got to have bodyguards all the time because of coming forward with your story.
It was very overwhelming at first. You know, I was used to being able to travel alone. I was used to being able to go to the bathroom alone. Mm-hmm. That's gone. But over the last several months, you know, I've adapted and I've gotten used to it and we've become friends and it's just the way that it is.
You describe in this book when you first met President Trump in Lake Tahoe back in July of 2006, and you say your first impression of him was that he was run-of-the-mill insecure, which I find happens a lot with people with money that they didn't earn themselves. They harbor this inner self-esteem problem that they try to mask by overcompensating. As you've been thinking back about that moment and as you've seen him, as we all have over the last couple of years, has it shaped the way that you perceived him at the beginning at all?
No, not much. I still stand by that feeling. You know, ask anyone. I'm not personally a dominatrix, but I have a lot of friends in the adult business that's what they do or that's part of their job. And they will tell you that their biggest paying and most unusual clients are CEOs and presidents of companies and people in high power. And then the other thing about that is that people who grow up very privileged and spoiled, for lack of a better word, lack social skills because no one's ever told them no. And I think that was pretty obvious and still holds true today.
How would you describe him today?
I don't know. I would have to. I mean, I haven't talked to him in 12 years. I think that he is a different person. At least the night I hung out with him, he could make complete sentences.
There's a report in the Wall Street Journal this week that alleges that Trump personally directed an effort earlier this year to stop you from publicly describing your alleged affair with him. How do you respond to that?
I found out about that the same time you did. I think it was yesterday, just reading news online. It's the first time I've heard of that, honestly. And it doesn't surprise me that it happened. It just surprises me that I'm just now finding out about it.
That actually brings me to another question, which is how much do you have to pay attention to the news now? Are you reading the news a lot more than you used to?
Actually, the exact opposite. For
really?
Months, for like the first couple of months, I was obsessed and was reading everything. And I can't tell you the last time I actually had a TV on in my hotel room. It just adds unnecessary stress. And it's the same thing over and over and over.
So you're not following politics closely?
Politics, yes, but I'm not reading the news and the news stories and especially staying away from anything about me.
Well, you're coming out with this book just a month before the midterm elections. Do you want this to influence the way that people vote?
That was not my intention at all. That was literally how fast can it get done? How fast can it get printed? How fast can this happen? It was not a strategy, at least not on my part. Maybe the publisher is smarter than I thought, but I don't think so. I don't think it was actually part of a master plan.
What do you want to happen in the midterm elections? Or do you have a view on that?
You know, I do. I think that it's going to be very interesting. Like I said, I've watched everything turn. I don't want to jinx anything, so I'm just going to wait and see.
Okay. I want to ask you about one more thing that's in the news right now, which is that President Trump has been talking at these rallies about Brett Kavanaugh and Christine Blasey Ford and her testimony, and he just, at a campaign rally, mocked Christine Blasey Ford. Here he is.
I had one beer, right? I had one beer. Well, do you think it was? Nope, it was one beer. Oh, good. How did you get home? I don't remember. How'd you get there? I don't remember. Where is the place? I don't remember. How many years ago was it? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know.
Stormy Daniels, what do you think when you hear that?
That he sounds like a petulant child. You know, that's what he does. He attacks people and tears down their character and whatever. And I'm not defending or, you know, negating what was said or anything like that. It's not my place, nor do I have any inside knowledge, so I would rather not comment. But I do know that he lashes out, and that's not very becoming of a leader.
What is the one thing you're hoping people take away from reading this book?
That things aren't always what they seem, and there's more than one side to every story. And I'm not a liar, and I didn't blackmail anyone. And, you know, that I am human, and maybe it will open their eyes to other girls in the adult business that we do have a voice. And I hope that, most importantly, the number one thing that I want to take away from this is that it inspires other people who need to speak up for themselves to do so.
That's Stormy Daniels, whose book is called Full Disclosure. It is out this week. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.